Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, star seeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hi, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. Today I have for you an Akashic reading starring Samantha, who so generously opened up her Akashic records to share with us. And it was such a timely conversation. I could not have planned this better. It really, like, genuinely, I was just answering the questions that she truly had, but they were so on point for the energies that are happening right now. And I know, like, it's a lot of stuff that a lot of people are feeling as more and more and more of us just decide that we are unwilling to do work that is not a match to our soul, that is not an expression of our heart gifts and our soul gifts in the world. And we start looking for other alternatives. There are so many people who are in this boat and ready to take action. And yeah, I fucking live for this. So it was a really fun reading for me to do. And it was cool because I've never done a reading for Samantha before. Like, this was our first one-to-one call ever. So it was like brand new, fresh energy as well. So we just talked a lot about, as I said, like some stuff came through about psychic abilities and connecting with spirit guides, as well as like ways to access psychic abilities and amplify them. And we also talked about different, basically like career paths or soul paths that would work for her. It was super fun for me because I am just like, I love seeing people's, we could call it highest timelines. I mean, I do see people's highest timelines, and sometimes that is like super far out and it can feel like too big a picture and like very, very lofty. But I can also see people's like highest timeline based on where they are, like the next, not their highest, most fulfilling, most amazing life ever per se, but like the timeline that bridges them to that highest timeline. What I'm saying is I can see people's potentials. I'm really good at seeing what people's soul work is, soul purpose work, whether that's like an employee job or whether that is like more of a solo entrepreneurship kind of thing, like becoming a spiritual entrepreneur, or if it is a like collaborative kind of entrepreneurship thing. Anyway, I'm just able to see it. And I'm also really good at helping people to monetize, like see ways to monetize their abilities in a manner that feels in alignment and in integrity and like clean and pure and good for their heart and soul. So not just making money to make money, you know, not just like participating in a damaged economy that we already find ourselves in, but in a way that's like, I can receive money in exchange for this valuable thing that I offer. I'm just very good at seeing that and seeing the like lucrative potentials for people. Even using the words like monetize and lucrative still feel a little bit like there's some unclean energies on those words, but it's also okay for us to do our soul work and allow it to be lucrative. Those two things don't have to be in opposition of each other. We just have to figure out a way to do it where it's in right relationship. So I got to cover a lot of that with Samantha, and it was a lot of fun. You may or may not hear some cameos from William, who was just having an afternoon, and normally he's like hanging out downstairs while mommy finishes her calls for the week, but he wanted to come up and have a cuddle with mom. I don't know, may have worked her editing magic and extricated those little pieces while maintaining the integrity of the conversation. But in advance, William kind of showed up and like it's kind of like photo bombing, but audio bombing this reading. He's so cute that we all forgive him, I'm sure. And apart from that, like, mostly I just want to share with you the reminder that we're still in the enrollment period for the Psychic Activation Course, which is a 7-week course wherein I will dive deeply into the main psychic clairs, like just a deep dive into claircognizance, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairempathy. I'm sure I will talk about I can never remember the word, but it's like basically clair smell. But there was like an actual word for it, and clairsalience or something like that. And then clair tangency, which is your taste. I will talk about those too, but I'll focus on those other clairs. And and then that is building on top of 3 other times that I've run this program live. So there's a lot of information in the Psychic Activation Course. If you are in the market for something that will like truly activate you and inspire you deeply over and over and over again, which includes meditations, which includes processes, chakra activations, etc., then this is the one for you. So that is starting early May, and it is currently enrolling. And then also Psychic School is also enrolling. It's set to start in like early mid-May. And Psychic School is different because it is a 4-month long immersion. So whereas Psychic Activation is like I'm running it, this is my last round running it live, and then it's going to be complete and it will be self-study evermore after that. It is like just 7 weeks, and it's really just me teaching. So it's like a curriculum kind of course, where if you just love to listen to my rambles and my channelings and receive all the activations without necessarily like following it up with action or participation, or you're not really looking for a community element, then Psychic Activation is going to be perfect for you, right up your alley. If you are looking for a community element, if you want to actually practice and practice with other people, and especially if you want to develop your psychic abilities in a way that you can then use them in your work, whether that is as an employee, like in an existing role, or whether it is to start your own business, that's what Psychic School is. It's for people who know that they want to use their psychic abilities to help others, and they want to develop strength and confidence and skill within those abilities so that they can just really be very clear that this is what they want, or this is what they can do, this is what they can deliver on, right? Because it's very hard to start offering that in your work, especially if you're doing it in a business capacity. It's very hard to like set that up as a service or integrate it as a service and receive money in exchange for it if you're not confident in your skills, because then you're kind of always feeling like, oh my God, is it going to work? Is it going to happen? Is anything going to come through? Or like, am I going to be able to provide a healing for this person or whatever? You know, am I going to be able to do a shamanic soul retrieval? Am I going to be able to see somebody's like past lives, like whatever it is? If you don't know that you can do that, it's very hard to charge money for it for very obvious reasons, right? But just because you don't know for sure that you can do it doesn't mean that you can't do it. To which I've got to say, okay, so I posted something on Threads. I'm going to share it on Instagram probably today, but maybe tomorrow. I posted something on Threads about how if you want to be a hairdresser, you go to hairdressing school. If you want to be a lawyer, you go to law school. If you want to like utilize your psychic or spiritual abilities as a paid service, as a career, you go to psychic school. And the point I was trying to make in my thread, which then went on a little bit deeper, is just like, you know, just because you want to be a hairdresser doesn't mean you're born fresh out of the womb knowing how to give somebody a fierce haircut and a bomb customer experience. You, even if you have that coding within you, and the raw talent, you still go to school to develop it. And same with like, you're not just born fresh out of the womb knowing how to navigate the legal system in a clever way on behalf of your clients. No, you go to law school to learn. But it's funny, we have this idea about psychic and spiritual gifts that like they if we're truly psychic, then they have to be like up and running and very obvious and very reliable. Otherwise, we must not have those abilities. It's just not true. It's not true. Just because somebody doesn't see your magic doesn't mean it's not there. Just because somebody didn't see it and reflect it back to you at some point doesn't mean that you don't have those gifts. And the thing with our psychic abilities is that nowhere in the traditional schooling system is there an opportunity to like evaluate those aptitudes in a child, right? Like there's no segment of the traditional curriculum that's like, ooh, let's see if somebody is clairsentient. let's see if somebody has like clairempathy or clairvoyance. No, none of that. It's completely left out. If anything, it's kind of still marginalized, ridiculed, and scoffed at. So you could have had that templating and nobody saw it and nobody validated it in you, and there was no path of learning that was created for you. And so, you know, it didn't develop. But that doesn't mean it's not there within you. So that is what I am creating with Psychic School. Anyway, the funny thing about it is that immediately on Threads, somebody came at me being like, it's insane that you would, I think it's crazy that you would make a universal declaration like that and blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't know, just freaking it out and projecting all over me that I'm like manipulating people and whatever. And I was like, you know what, if this is not an alignment for anyone, please don't join. I don't want you there. Not because I don't love and value you, but because like, if it's not for you, it's not for you. I'm not going to try and convince you that something that's not for you is for you. That doesn't feel good for me. It doesn't feel good for you. But like, maybe there are some people that hear what I'm saying and they're like, yeah, that makes sense. I do feel like I might have some latent spiritual or psychic gifts, and I would like to develop them because I do know that I want to use them, or even I think I want to use them. It was just super, super fascinating that, you know, it's just interesting. The thing I find really funny is that I feel like I do say some controversial things sometimes. And nobody really seems to give me shade, or not very much shade, about the things that I say that are a little bit more controversial on like hot button topics. But when I say something that I feel like is totally benign and fairly neutral and like really has nothing to do with anything that's super emotionally charged, that's when people get triggered. There was another person who likewise commented something that felt a little bit extreme, but I was like, interesting, interesting. So basically what I'm saying is, if you want to develop this part of yourself, I've got you, friend. I've created something for you. It is available. I plan to run it again next year, but it will not run again until this time next year. So this isn't your only time to get in, but it's going to be a whole entire year before I open it up, because I got other plans. I got other things going on. So that is still open for enrollment for another few weeks. It includes the psychic activation course. So you don't have to choose between the two. It's like you can take the 7-week version, or you can take the 4-month version, and the 7-week one is included, as well as other things are included in Psychic School too, other like pre-recorded materials that are very deep dives on all topics related to psychicness. And then the other thing that I want to share with you is that I just finished up the Create Your Spiritual Biz workshop. We still have our Q&A on Monday, April 22nd, but it was sabotaged by Mercury retrograde. First of all, let me tell you that. But I think it was for the best. It gave me a live test run to just like go through all the material I had, which was quite a lot. It filled an entire 3 hours. But the recording was, number one, like poor quality because Mercury retrograde, and also was incomplete because Mercury retrograde. So what I did was I re-recorded it in a whole series of shorter snippets, which I actually think was a better fit for that type of information, because it's a very actionable course. Like this is almost purely strategy. I definitely go into energetics and mindset, but my intention with it is literally how to start your business, if that is what you want to do, at the low, low price of $147 with a payment plan available. Like, I mean, I can't even tell you how many thousands of dollars, how many tens of thousands of dollars I have spent to acquire that information. And some of it I never found through the money that I've spent. I just found it through my own experience. And I've distilled it down into what you need to know to start. And I've priced it very affordably because I really actually want you to start your business. I want you to so much. And I want you to start it in a way where you're not going to get like all twisted up and blocked and like it's not set up well, which is what happened to me. And then you quit. I just have a lot of tenacity and that's what allowed me to keep going. But man, did I make a lot of mistakes because I didn't know any better. I just want to save you that headache. I want to save you that time and money. I want to see you step into your soul work and create a spiritual business that just like contributes to life and the world in a net positive way, but also sustains you and allows you to flourish and grow as the beautiful human being and soul that you are. So that's still available for purchase. I'm not even hiking the price. I just really want you to have access to it if that calls to you. And this weekend only, so Friday, April 19th through to Monday, April 22nd, I have a flash sale going on for my course, New Earth Light Codes of Money and Wealth, which is super duper juicy. I was reviewing how much is in it and I was like, damn, like, damn, I did a good job on this course. A lot of it is channeled and so I'm not taking credit for channeled information, but there's also, again, the distilling of a lot of fucking personal work and learning that I have done, like a very committed path to healing my money shit, which is evidenced by the fact that I am well over $900,000 in total revenue since I started my business in 2020. So that means I'm going to cross the $1 million mark in revenue, which is different than profits, okay? I'm not living a millionaire lifestyle. I am living a very middle-class lifestyle, but I have nonetheless generated almost $1 million in my business. And I'm very proud of myself for that, very proud. And I don't say that to brag. I don't care if that makes you think that I'm amazing or not, or if it makes you think that I'm just all in it for the money, because I know my heart and I know that I'm not. And I know that as amazing as I am, because I am amazing, you are that amazing too. And I believe in you so much. I share it because I want you to know what's possible. I want you to understand that when I create a spiritual business like workshop, it's because this is available for you too. And I want to tell you how to do it. When I create the New Earth Light Codes of Money and Wealth, this is for anybody, even if you don't want to start a spiritual business, like what I'm doing works, what I'm bringing through works, and I want to share it with you. Please let me share it with you. And then you might say, well, Amy, then why don't you offer it for free? I'll tell you why, because people don't value free stuff. I will tell you that straight up. I've caught myself not valuing free things, but also like, it's funny. I test this over and over and over again. Okay. You might think, oh, of course you've made all this money. You charge out the butt for your readings. You charge like out the butt for your programs. That's just one snapshot. And I tell you, there are months at a time where I'm not doing readings, or there are long periods of time where the only readings I'm doing are either free ones for the podcast, or they are readings that are integrated in the programs that I apparently, air quotes, charge out the butt for. And also, I'm doing ones that I've put on sale. So I'm not like getting rich off of these readings. That's just the standard price of what I can afford to put them at. If somebody wants to, if they show up on my website and they're like, I want a reading and I want it right now, and I don't want to wait until you put it on sale and like take my chances to try and get in on it, because those go pretty fast, then that's the price that they're going to pay. That's what it's valued at, because I, only have so much time in a week. I'm insanely, insanely busy. So I'm not making a ton of money because everything is priced high. But you know what's super interesting is when I price things low, the only thing that has done well on a low price has been the Spirit Guides workshop. That was interesting. Or masterclass. That was very interesting that a lot of people joined that. And I had it priced beautifully at $22. That's where most people joined. Some people joined at $44 and a handful of people joined at $77. But for the most part, when I run things and I price it low, not a lot of people buy. And you know how I know people don't value free things, just in my own audience and my own experience, is because there's still like, I mean, I'm so thankful. I have about 650 people subscribed to my private podcast, okay, which is a weekly tarot and Akashic energy report. It is so valuable, and I am committed to keeping it free. It's just private. All you do is subscribe and you give me your email and you're free to unsubscribe from my email list anytime. It's completely like there's no heavy commitment on your part, right? And there are 650 people subscribed and I'm grateful for every single one of them. And you know what? I have a much bigger audience than that, which tells me that a lot of people just don't really consider it valuable because it's free. It's just super interesting. I mean, pricing psychology is interesting, and I'm not the only one reflecting this. If you get into the entrepreneurial path and you learn about pricing and you learn about like entrepreneurship, you find out like this is just true across the board. People perceive that low cost things are low value, and they perceive high ticket things as high value, which isn't always true. So that's the reason that I'm not just giving this away for free, because you probably wouldn't even listen to it or take action on it anyway. But if I charge a certain amount of money, those people who are truly ready and truly interested will sign up, and they will value it according to what that spending of that money means to them at the time that they sign up. And hopefully it means that they will listen to all of it. And maybe they will even do the meditations. And maybe they will even do some of the journaling prompts. And maybe they will take action on it and actually start changing their situation. Because that's what's required. I promise you that I didn't create almost $1 million in revenue in a spiritual business where I had no fucking idea what I was doing when I started. And to be honest, I didn't really know what I was doing until about last year. I was just like shooting from the hip the whole time. But I still was super committed to learning and super committed to doing the work and taking the action and integrating and making changes in my life. And that is what has created this result. So I want to share it with you. These are all the ways to get in on it right now. To recap, that is the Psychic Activation Course, Psychic School, the long 4-month group immersion to turn this into a career. Then there is the Create Your Spiritual Business workshop, which is pretty straightforward. I'm sure you understand what it was about. And then there is the flash sale this weekend in celebration of Taurus season for the New Earth Light Codes of Money and Wealth. That's 40% off. It's a very generous discount. And especially when you see what's in it, it's like, yeah, that's a pretty juicy, sweet discount. And then, of course, you can subscribe to my private podcast and receive like very, very valuable, very rich tarot and Akashic energy reports every single week for free. And then the last thing I'll share with you is that I do have something very exciting for free that I have coming up, because I do love you so much and I don't want everything to be like behind a paywall. I truly don't. But also, this is a business. And also, if I'm not making good money off of it, then I'm going to have to go get a job, which is going to pay me a lot less. And I will not have time to even podcast, let alone do readings, let alone create courses. Okay. But this free thing that I have on offer, which I'm so pumped about, is I'm doing a free psychic activation group challenge / multi-day transmission. Okay. I wish I could give these things different names so that it wouldn't be as confusing. I have a secret fear that this all sounds very confusing because how many different products can I create that have the term psychic? But it is about psychicness. So this is sort of like this is a everyone's invited, a truly a free for all. Come on in. If you can't afford to join the other things, I still want you to get in on the goodness, okay? For free. If you are thinking about joining, but you're kind of on the fence, come on in for free. And you either just join this for free and you get a ton of value out of it, or you join it for free, get a ton of value out of it, and then decide to pull the trigger and join one of the other things, okay? But either way, like, don't be deceived. Just because it's free doesn't mean that it's going to be lamesies and just watered down crap. That's not how I roll. It's not how I do anything. So the vibe is that between April 29th and May 3rd in a private group, I think I'm going to hold it on Instagram this time, but I'm not sure. I either Facebook or Instagram. So if you hate social media, I'm sorry. It just is what it is. But in a private group somewhere, I am going to somewhere where everybody always already has accounts pretty much. I am going to go live every single day and I'm going to provide some really like hot fire, lightning bolt, like activating transmissions that like just unlock a whole bunch of shit for you, unlock your understandings, dispel a bunch of myths and misunderstandings around psychic abilities, as well as giving you actionable tips. And the challenge part is that we're all going to hang out together and we're going to like do our little daily thing. And it's not going to be meditate for an hour because nobody has time for that. Not even I do. It's going to be like something you can easily integrate into your day and practice. And then we're going to be like, I did my thing for the day. Woohoo. And we're all just going to celebrate each other. And we're going to see what kind of magic starts to unfold as we step into this vortex of activation together. That's the vibe. Multi-day group transmission, big time magic, totally, totally free. No commitment. You are not required to join anything paid afterwards. This is like, if, like I said, it's a dip in your toe in. If you like it, then you can join something else. If you like it and you don't want to join something else, no problem. And if you didn't like it, guess what? You didn't spend any money. So no harm, no foul. Because I love you and I love hanging out with you guys. And I'm just in the psychic mood right now. I'm just getting all the psychic vibes, all the psychic transmissions. Can't wait to do it. So those are the different ways you can come play in my world right now. I hope that there is something there for you. I love you so fucking much. You can't even possibly know. I hope that you are surviving in this like, feels to me like very grueling Mercury retrograde. Like, I don't know if I've ever been through a Mercury retrograde that has retrograded me this hard. This one is just dragging me across the coals of massive inconveniences all over the place, left, right, and center. I hope that you are surviving, but whether or not any of us is, you know, like air quotes surviving, figuratively speaking, it'll all be over soon enough. Anyways, without any further rambling on my very rambly ass part, here is the Akashic reading with the amazing, beautiful, talented Samantha, who is going places, let me tell you. Okay, love you guys. So that being said, anything's on the table at all. I just like, there are really no questions that I've never found an answer for. So like, whatever you would like to explore, I'm all yours. We'll go for an hour and yeah.
Okay. Sounds great. I'm so excited, Amy. This is so cool. Thank you.
All right. So what would you like to explore first?
Okay. So just like a little background of like my childhood and what I experienced. I feel like I've always been drawn to like the metaphysical and psychics and astrology. And so when I was really young, I would have reoccurring dreams. But before that, I mean, I don't even know how young I was. I was probably like younger than seven, maybe seven and younger. And I had this one reoccurring dream, and it was frightening to me at that age. Like, I was afraid to go to sleep sometimes because I'd be like, oh no, I'm going to have this dream again. And all it was just me in just space, like empty space. And I was surrounded by orbs, and that's it. And the orbs would like come towards me and circle me. And at first, it would be a few orbs, and then it would just multiply and be like tons of orbs. And they kind of resembled like bubbles. And that's how they would start. And it was interesting at first, and then it was just terrifying. And I have no idea why it was terrifying, but I was terrified to have this dream. And it happened like many times. Like, that's the only reoccurring dream that I can really think of when I was really young. And then as I grew up, I started having dreams of, and now that I'm older, I'm like, well, maybe that was like a past life or something, but I would have dreams of being chased. And I would be in places that I just didn't recognize. And I would think, okay, maybe that was from maybe a movie I saw. So I would be chased, and like the community of people would try and keep me safe, and they'd hide me in their house and hide me in closets. Sometimes I was alone, and sometimes I was with like a younger somebody, like a younger sister or my daughter or my kid, but I was always being chased and hunted down. And that was like a reoccurring dream that I had, like my teenage years, just like high school. And then I stopped having them once I kind of became an adult. But I've always been attracted to like psychics, and psychics would come up to me in like random places and tell me about my energy and like want to give me a quick reading, and would tell me like, you don't have to give me any money, I just feel inclined to talk to you. And they would tell me like things, and most of the times like some of the information would be right, and or I wouldn't want to say completely right, but on the right track and similar to what was unfolded in my life at that time. So now, cut to like, I was a professional dancer for like 15 years, and I always felt like I just kind of followed. Like, I would tell my mom, I'm like, yeah, I just kind of make decisions in the moment rather than planning out my life. And it brought me to California. I danced for 15 years, and then I just felt wrong. I didn't want to do it anymore, kind of after my dad died. And then I had to find something else to do. And so now I feel, ever since I stopped dancing, I feel like not lost, but definitely off my path. So I've been trying to figure out how to get like that feeling back, being sure of myself. That makes sense.
Totally. Okay. And so I'm guessing then that means that your current work is not really like lighting you up, paying the bills. It's working, but
It's
it's
paying the
not your thing.
bills. I don't want to say I don't like it, because there are aspects. I feel like I can enjoy almost anything. I can figure out aspects of what I like and then focus on the light, you know? So there are aspects. It's not the worst job ever, but I don't enjoy it. And I just feel like it's not right. It's not right for me.
Yeah, it's not it. Okay. So what you're asking is, what is the path like in terms of work?
Yes, well, okay, I do want to figure out how I can communicate with my angels, my spirit team, my higher self better. I feel like I'm blocked in some way. I've been trying for years. I'm not great at meditating, although I do like to sit in silence, but I feel like I have a monkey brain and I can't quiet my thoughts. And I don't know. I just feel like there's got to be another way other than meditation that I could somehow communicate with my spirit guides. So that, and yeah, I just feel like I'm off my path and I want to, I don't know, align with what my purpose is. And actually your pod, like the few last like two or three podcasts that you've put out, I feel like you're talking directly to me. I'm like, I need to get, I feel like if I get on my path, I'll know or have a clearer vision of what like my mission is, like my sole purpose. I don't want to say why I'm here, but kind of, you know, that kind of, I just want to feel like when I wake up, I want to be like, yes, today I'm doing this and I feel good about it and I feel like it's in the right direction and I don't feel that way now.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So it's not necessarily restricted to work.
No.
It possibly includes like what you would do with your time in terms of work and receiving money, but it's bigger than that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm going to tune into your Akashic records and see what comes through. Okay. Okay. So of course there are so many layers to this question. Like kind of like I shared on that last podcast episode, like there's what are you here to receive? And then what are you here to give? You know, give out into the world and like how can that like does that coincide with where there's so many different angles. So I'm gonna kind of give you the broad strokes of what I'm seeing right now. And then if there are any specifics that you want, you just guide me in that direction by asking like me to look at this piece or whatever. But what I'm really seeing is that your most forward present spiritual gift is your emotional, like your heart. So you're a clairempath, basically. And I'll also say for the benefit of everybody listening that we are all a mix of all the clairs, but I just mean like that's the one that is not really blocked in a sense. Like it's the most accessible and immediate one to you. You're still connected to dance and body movement. Okay, what I see, I mean, I kind of always think in terms of like work and career. I think it's just part of my coding is to help people like create the career that they want or the work that they want. But what I see is you have the ability to work with, it feels like primarily women, and to work with them through some kind of movement practice. It's almost like a It's not like, you know, you just do fitness classes somewhere, which there would be nothing wrong with that, but that's not what it is. It's more targeted and it's about them reestablishing their connection to their body. It's probably processing a lot of trauma, but also finding beauty and love for life and for themselves and emotional and creative expression through the way that they move their body. And you have this really beautiful natural gift for being able to be very emotionally present as a witness to somebody and just like really seeing them and really holding emotional space for them. But then also picking them up and showing them what kind of movements they could do with their body in order to like move that energy. So I kind of feel like, well, first of all, I'm going to stop and see if any of this resonates and if you want me to keep going on this track or if there's a different angle you would like me to take first.
I kind of want to hear a little more about this. Well, maybe not obviously to you, but obviously to me, like I love dancing and I loved performing, but I just stopped loving that aspect. And I couldn't figure out how to monetize dancing without, and I didn't really, I taught children, which was great for that time, but I didn't want to continue doing that. And I couldn't figure out like where could I fit dance in and how could I how could I utilize it in not a selfish way? Like, I still dance, I still take dance class, and it just feeds my soul, but I couldn't quite figure out what to do with it other than personally it filling my soul, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So we're on the right track. So it's not children, it's women. And kind of the way I'm seeing it is like it's a woman and she feels broken and she feels really sad. And it feels like she's experienced some kind of trauma, whether it's recent or it's in the distant past, but that's kind of distorted and severed her connection between like herself, her consciousness, and her body. Like, see if I can describe it properly. She doesn't love herself and she doesn't love her body, but she wants to love herself. She's kind of at odds with it on her journey. And you have this really amazing gift of being able to like see her where she is and hold emotional space for her and validate where she is, but also not leave her there. You know what I mean? Like, not just like, we're going to hang out here and I'm going to validate you and that's it. But like, I see you, I feel you, what you're experiencing is real. And also, let's get up together and move. And let's move this energy out through dance. And it feels, I don't know what kind of dance you do, but I'm feeling like this, a lot of it can come out through any kind of dance, but a lot of it initially is moving emotions through very graceful and like controlled movements that remind me of ballet without it necessarily being boxed into ballet. But almost, you know how ballet has that ability to like really emote.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's almost like, and she it's things she can't even put into words to herself. Like, it's not just that she can't say them to somebody else. She can't even find words, but there's so much emotion around it. There's such big feelings, and you just like guide her to, you know, like move her arm in this really graceful, controlled way. I mean, you can't see my fingertips, but you know, the way that like it just extends all the way through the fingertip and the placement of the fingers and the hands, and it's like all these moves out through her, but it's also an expression. And so it kind of feels almost like a form of coaching, whether you like that term or not, it's like that kind of service where the transformation occurs over a number of dance sessions together. And there's like the combination of you just giving her space to speak and share wherever she's at, and then like, okay, and now we're gonna dance it out. We're gonna move it through dance. And it helps her to reconnect with self-love, and it helps her to reclaim her body and just to reclaim her expression and her creativity and her experience. And so it's almost like, in a way, you're like a somatic self-love coach through dance, but you also don't have to call it that. That's just what I'm trying to articulate. And there's also, it can be done like privately or semi-privately in small groups. It can also be done in bigger groups. It feels like live in a studio, not anything that you're necessarily, I don't know, I was gonna say that not necessarily that you're doing online, but then all of a sudden something came in where it's like, does feel like there's also room eventually to create like a program that people can guide themselves through, or a little bit more like a membership, so that no matter where they are in the world, they can watch along and do the classes. But there's like so there's pre-recorded material that they can do anytime, and then there's like a live class sort of like once a week or once every other week or something like that. So, okay, so that was a lot of information, but basically the important, however it ends up unfolding, doesn't really matter. That's just the framework that I'm able to see on the highest timeline I can access right now. But more importantly, it's like you have this incredible heart and this incredible ability to hold space for women who are just feeling like lost and broken. And need some way to move that, but also have it acknowledged.
Okay. I like that. I like that.
Awesome. So then, is there any other angle that you want me to take on the sort of like soul purpose topic that didn't get covered with that?
I do want to, as far as that goes, not really, because I can see that being valuable. I could see that being something that would definitely like fulfill me a bit. Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna explore that. But do I have any blocks that's like keeping me from like propelling forward? And like, I wish I could have like come up with that. Like, why didn't I just know that? Like, I
Yeah,
dance,
I mean,
it's therapeutic for me.
right. That's a great question. I will say this. I didn't see my stuff. Like it's hard to see our own selves. It's really hard. Like I'm right in the middle of teaching into the Akasha, and we're doing practice sessions reading for ourselves, and it's hard to read for ourselves. Not impossible, but it's harder because we have all these like expectations and programs and things that prevent that information from coming through. And also, this is like one of the areas that is part of my soul blueprint to be able to see grounded pathways for people to anchor down their gifts and express them and also like receive money in exchange for it. But I will look and see if you have any blocks with that caveat aside. Okay, so the first layer of information that's coming through, there's two pieces. So the first one is that I feel inside of you that there is like a perception that's blocking you in terms of like the way you framed the question, like blocking you from moving forward and sort of seeing your own path. There's something inside of like your perception, inside of your thoughts, I guess, your beliefs that like, it almost feels like you're not actually convinced. It's hard for you to believe that. I'm just trying to find the right way to articulate it. It's hard for you to believe that you bring actual value to other people, to other people. And I don't know if that necessarily plays out in like all areas of life. Like, for example, you might feel very confident that you bring value within your family. Just a second. So you might feel and know that you give value to your family, but it feels like in terms of like the outer world, there's a part of you that is not doesn't actually know that you provide value like on your own standalone, and that you can do it as part of an organization, but not on your own. And that pardon me, that limits you from seeing all the available pathways because you're like corralling yourself onto the pathways where you can, I don't know, like you can, yeah, fit into an organization or a company or something like that. And it feels like it's a little bit hard for you to take, like, we'll use a dance or performance term, like center stage, although it might not feel like performance anxiety or like nerves, but it's more like you don't naturally believe that you deserve that spotlight or that you can fulfill that spotlight.
I would say that's really accurate because I've tried, or I guess I didn't try. I didn't try very hard, but I've wanted to do things like on my own and like start a business. And I just feel like I'm better in a group and I can, it's like, you start the business and then I'll come in and I can add different things that it's like I don't know if it's I don't have like the the gusto to do it myself, but I'll piggyback on you and give you like really good ideas that I know that I can contribute. But like for me to step out on my own, I guess it's, I don't know if it's like a just a fear of not trusting myself. That's probably it. I just don't trust myself that I could take it all on by myself. I would rather be like a part of a group. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an organization, but I mean, that's what has been easy for me to get like work within an organization or, you know, this 9 to 5 job. But I don't feel like that is, I'm not an employee. I'm not the best employee. I'm like, I really, if I'm honestly speaking, like I shouldn't be an employee. But I will work hard and I will do what needs to be done. And it's like, I feel like I should be an entrepreneur the way I work, the way I think, but I just don't have like the chutzpah to really like do it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that you're not an employee, because I was gonna say, like, you're not an employee though. That's the thing, is like, it's, and you can work as an employee, but it's not actually like, it doesn't suit you. It doesn't suit your personality and your energy type. So when I was tuning into that block, what it really felt like is that you're afraid you can't deliver. And in all the ways that, you know, delivery would be required. And it feels like it's not necessarily restricted to starting a business. It would be this way in almost any business. And it also would have, like, were you the star dancer?
No, not all the time. Like I sometimes, but more often than not, I was like fill in the picture, the chorus girl, never really the lead. Just like a few times I got to be in the spotlight. Like
Yeah.
I was the lead.
Okay. Because it feels even like it extends to that, like almost like you're just afraid that you will let other people down, or like you don't have what it takes to that's what there's where the value piece comes in. But it's a belief. It's not actually the truth. It's not that you're not coded, like when you were saying that you feel a little bit more drawn to like helping somebody else, supporting them in their vision. It's more because you're just not confident that you can fulfill your own vision. But you are confident that you could do that. You're confident that you could contribute to somebody else's thing, but not that you on your own are the value. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just feel like I don't have enough. Like I don't have all the pieces. Like I need, and I don't know if that's just like I don't know where that comes from either. I don't know. Like there's been nothing really in my life that's been like I've not been enough, you know? Or maybe there are things in my life where I feel like I wasn't enough, but I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna tune into that some more, but first I'll tell you the other piece that I was seeing, which is specifically around the blocks that you asked in connection with your spirit guides and wanting to, you know, connect with your angels and your spirit guides more. You turned that off, but it's not off. It's just like you increased your filter to filter it out because of those dreams. And what I'm understanding about those dreams is they were like astral projection experiences, while still having a little bit of a dream quality to them. But they were, you know, it wasn't just that you were dreaming, you were in space, you were in astral space. And those were, you know, like those orbs were the forms of different spirits and beings that you have a connection with. And it just frightened you in your younger years so much that you figured out a way. It's not that at the time you turned it off, it's more like your sort of your ego mind figured out or decided, came to the conclusion that all of that is unsafe, and it just associated your fear with those experiences. And so it like tightened the weave of the filter that, you know,
kind of blocks that information out. So the way to overcome that is really to like open up to whatever, you know, even like seemingly negligible, like minute little sparks of psychic experiences you can receive through that filter, and support yourself. Like if you notice you have any kind of trauma response coming up or fear response, then it's like supporting yourself probably through somatic practice, just based on the, you know, what I'm seeing about your soul code. I'm gonna have to put them out in a minute. Supporting yourself, like to basically like release the fear and just process the fear through. And because you're just, the trick is just having to convince your ego mind that it's safe to receive more of this spiritual psychic information directly through your own experience, and that like no harm is going to come to you. You're not going to be accused of being insane. You're not going to lose your job. You're not going to, like, there's a whole laundry list of what our psyches are afraid of happening if we let these experiences come through.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I do feel like I had several people trying to help me get this job. And to my core, I did not want this job, but it was like more money, better insurance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my. And then it was the whole idea of like, I should take this for my family and that's what I should do. So I went through this whole process and my body was reacting, like my heart, my stomach, like every interview they called me back for, I just had like this pit in my stomach. And I'm like, I should be happy I'm getting this second interview, bile in my throat. I should be happy I'm getting this third interview. And then once I found out I didn't get it, I felt like amazing. I felt so good. And I'm like, holy crap. Like my body was telling me the whole time, like, you don't want this. You don't want this. Don't do this. And I was listening, but I wasn't listening. I was just, and it just got worse as I got more interviews. And I mean, I'm so glad I didn't get it because I feel so much better now. But then I'm like, okay, now what's next? Like, what's next?
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, and I took that as I'm like, okay, thank you. You're looking out for me. Like, how do I open up to more of that? And I was just thinking like the acknowledgement, thank you. This is what I want. And kind of, you know, I mean, I talk out loud all the time to my angels and I'm like, I know y'all are with me. Like, let's ride. You keep me safe. Keep my kid safe. Like, she's going to a slumber party tonight, you know, just different things. And but I don't always feel connected. And it's just so random when I do feel connected. And I'm grateful, but I wish it happened more.
Yeah. Okay. You go watch a show.
He just needed.
It's Super Kitties. Yeah. Say bye to Samantha.
Bye.
Bye.
Just go with it.
He just needed his mom for a minute.
Yeah, sorry about that. He's pretty like, if I tried to call his dad, it would have just been a gigantic meltdown of emotions. So thank you for your patience.
Yeah, pick your battles. That's it. Pick your battles.
Literally, especially with this kid. Yeah, so exactly like you're recognizing already. I mean, that's a huge example. Those are huge messages. Your body's telling you, relaying, like it's basically connected to your higher self. Is like, don't do this. This is not for you. This is not for you. Wrong path, wrong path, wrong path. And yeah, you were listening, but you were overriding it, which is the beauty that it's the beauty of being a human is we have the free will to override the guidance and suffer. Yeah. But that, yeah. And just to acknowledge that, that's a huge thing. And really that's the path. And it's sort of like noticing subtler and subtler ways that it will come through. So that was probably like, so when you say you wish you could feel connected all the time, the thing is that we are connected all the time, but that conscious mind shuts it out because basically because our conscious mind is just really focused on survival and safety. And there are like it thinks it knows what survival and safety is, but it doesn't. It's the part of us that is like limited by fear. And so, for example, like the conscious mind is responding to current life traumas, past life traumas, you know, and it's filtering around that. It's like, okay, every time I've been in a body, like this can happen, this can happen, this can happen, this can happen. And my whole goal is to make sure none of that happens again. That's what the conscious ego, human ego mind is thinking. So it's constantly shutting out the ways that we feel connected. But we are little tiny things will slip through. Like that one was overt because probably your higher self was like, send the message down the pipe. Like she needs to know not to take this job, right? Like kind of, you know, all hands on deck, make sure that the message gets through. But the rest of the time when something, when you, there's not like such an overt sort of message that wants to be delivered, it's kind of like it comes in such little subtle, quiet ways, and it's annoying. Subtle and annoyingly quiet, but the reason it's so subtle and quiet is because it has to get past that ego mind, and the ego mind will like needs to deem it as not harmful or not harmful in its quantity or potency. Do you know what I mean? So it's like little glimmers can slip through, and it's about getting better at catching those little glimmers and acknowledging them, and then showing your ego mind that, oh, okay, it's cool, actually, it's safe. We're okay to receive that information. So, but what was coming through back when you were even just giving me the context and telling me how you've always been drawn to psychics and things like that was automatic writing. Have you tried automatic writing?
I haven't, but that's so interesting that you say that now because I was listening to a podcast and that's how this woman filtered things. Like she would just sit with a pen and write and write. And then like somebody would take a page away and she would continue writing. And I was like, that's interesting. But I don't like, I would like to try that.
Yeah, you should totally try it. And so the hang up then for a lot of people is like, well, what do I write about? It's kind of like you just, I personally, this is just me, this may not apply to everybody else, but I found it easy to sort of frame it like a question and then I write the answer. So like, what's preventing me from moving forward with this really great idea that I know is a great idea? And then I just start writing. And the first pro at least paragraph is usually stuff I already know. So it's really doesn't feel psychic at all. It's just stuff I already know. But that has to kind of like get out first. And then if I keep writing, and just like you said, like somebody just like either you flip the page or whatever without kind of stopping and rereading, you just keep going. Eventually, you start to like tap into a deeper truth of your own. And then when you start to feel it's such, this is why it's a practice, because first your that filtering part of your consciousness needs to learn that your own deeper truth is safe. Because that's why we suppress a lot of our own stuff anyway, because our ego mind is like, if I were to acknowledge this and say this out loud, my whole world will fall apart. My marriage will end and I won't be able to go back to work and everything's going to be terrible and I'll die. Like that's kind of the extremes that we go to. So the first layer is the stuff we already know. Then the second layer is like our own deeper truth that we haven't really fully let ourselves acknowledge, but still feels familiar as it comes through because it's our own truth. And then when you keep practicing, eventually stuff starts coming that you're like, oh, this is news to me. I didn't know that. Like, this is not coming from my human self at all. But it's kind of like it's really all about showing our psyche, like that conscious mind, that we're safe. And so that's why it's like good to break it up as a regular practice. And if you are somebody that struggles with meditation, this is a great alternative, a really great alternative. And you can start writing to your spirit guides as well. Did you do the spirit guides workshop by any chance? Or masterclass,
I
you
did.
mean? Okay, good. Okay, perfect. So I just saying this because like always check that whoever you're communicating with is like good news. You know,
Yes.
even if they tell you they're your spirit guide, still, yeah, make sure.
Yes. And kind of to piggyback on that, when I was listening to the workshop, I happened to be at my husband's mother's house, and she has like this cute little backyard, and birds are singing and hummingbirds are flying around, and it's super peaceful. So I would go out there and listen to the workshop, and then you kind of guided us through what to do and like what questions to ask. And so in my experience, the first thing or per, you know, spirit I encountered, I asked if, you know, the spirit guide was of Christ-like energy, Christ-like the highest vibration, and I didn't get a response. And I was like, seriously, like on my first go, like this is what's happening. So I kept asking, and it was like whatever it was just kind of like backed out of the room backwards, you know, and then was gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was kind of hilarious because I've tried to back out of rooms like that, and that is exactly what just happened with whatever that was. But then I was thinking too, because it didn't, I mean, I don't know, like this is the first time I did that. And then I felt like I connected with, it felt like a version of me that was more like dominant and confident. So I was like, oh, maybe that was my higher self, because I had like a question, and it was almost like the spirit interrupted like my thought and just gave me an answer, like very blunt and quick. And I was like, oh, that's like how I want to live my life, but I know that I can't just cut people off because I have the answer and I'm just trying to be quick and concise. So I was like, ah, oh. And I asked like series of questions, and I'm like, that is probably my higher self, because she feels like the same energy that I am, but just more confident and direct.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Everything that you explained, and totally that I find that's a hallmark of even like our spirit guides. They're not as patient as we sometimes think they are. It depends on what kind of spirit guide we have, but sometimes, yeah, they are like, oh, great, you're finally asking the questions. Here I am with the answer. And you're like, I didn't even get to articulate the whole thing.
Yeah, that's how it was, but I like appreciated it. I was like, okay, I like this. Who are you? I want to let's hang out. But yes, yeah, so I did take your spirit guides, and that I was it came at the right time, and I'm like, this is what I want to know. I want to connect with my spirit guides. And so it was fantastic. I'm also signed up. I just signed up for your psychic school, which I had a conversation with May about it. I was like, oh, am I supposed to do this? Like, should I do this? Like, can you give me some guidance? And so May is like, she sent me a long email, and it was very comforting. And I just felt like, I'm like, well, I don't know that I necessarily want to pursue a business. I don't know if I'm like the type of person that I'm supposed to be doing this kind of thing for other people, but I'm very interested in doing it for myself. And I just want to feel like, I feel like I'm in the clouds like every day. Like I'm looking for like grounding. I'm like, I need to tether to something. I feel like I'm just out here in the world, just the wind's blowing me around. I feel out of control. I'm like, how can I ground myself? Like, I feel like if I connect with my guides, I don't know. I'm just really grasping for something, because I've never felt this like a balloon and on a windy day. I've never felt like this before. And I've always felt much more grounded in self, and I don't feel that way.
And is that all around like this, the soul purpose kind of stuff? Like just a feeling of like, what am I even doing here? And like, what am I supposed to be doing? And Work
I think
in I
so.
job, but that's not it.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, even what I was doing before, like being a performer, it's just so, at least what I was doing was just like so self-involved and just about self, I guess, like the fulfillment of the, you know, being on stage and performing behind people or doing television and finding that next job. I think that kept me so busy that maybe, I mean, maybe I wasn't even grounded then, but I was just so focused on the next thing that, and then I would have this fulfillment of performing and it, because it's like performing for me was like so meditative. Like you just get in the zone and you do what you're supposed to do. And then there's the energy of the crowd or the energy of the other dancers. And it's just, I haven't experienced anything like that ever in life except for that. And I think that that was just like my focus and where my energy was. And that made me feel grounded. And so now I don't have that. So I just feel like I'm flopping all over the place and I have no
But
control.
interestingly though, you still dance for yourself, but that's not quite doing it in terms of the anchoring.
Yes, because I think in that instance, like it did it for employment and I did it for enjoyment. So those two buckets were filled.
Right.
Whereas now I do it for enjoyment and that's great because but it's so, you know, it's almost like fleeting. After I leave, I'm like on a high for a little bit and then I come back down and I'm like, ah, it's Monday. I gotta hit the road and talk to doctors, which is great, but not really.
Yeah, totally. And like, okay, so what was coming through while you were speaking is I feel like to say that that chapter of your life where you were like a career performer through dance was self-absorbed, it or self-fulfilling, whatever, self-focused. It is that, but it also was like being part of a bigger vision and like the whole vision, like playing your part in it, right? And you
Yeah.
just experienced a lot of fulfillment through it. And then it also probably required a lot of like focus and ambition in order to choose that path. It's not the same thing as clocking into a job that you are under contract and therefore like you just show up and do your hours or whatever. There's a degree of focus and ambition required and constantly mastering your craft, right? You also can't just sit back on your laurels and be like, well, I've arrived, I got this role. You're constantly practicing and dancing and like honing that gift of yours. So it feels to me like that was just a different chapter in your life, and that particular cup got filled, and then it just wasn't like expressing yourself through those like roles in performing just weren't really lighting up that part of you anymore. Whereas now, because your cup is filled, based on what I'm seeing, and you're always free to reject and change. Cherry pick whatever resonates and leave behind whatever doesn't. But what I'm seeing is like, oh, now there's a part of you that's really kind of, it's almost like dance is your sole purpose and your sole mission. But like, so as your sole purpose, it was like, I get all these good feelings from like being free to dance in this life and get paid to do it. How wonderful, how amazing. And like, who knows, maybe you're. And I can look into it if you want me to, but maybe you're sort of like dancing for the self in past lives that didn't get to dance. And in this life, you got to. And then that cup got filled. And so now it's shifted in a direction where it's like, well, what am I here to give? And it's still through dance, but it's like a different form, a different expression or avenue. And then also, what was coming through too is, if you feel like you're kind of an entrepreneur, but you're not like a full-blown, like build the whole thing from scratch, from the ground up kind of entrepreneur, then it's very possible that you do partner with somebody. Perhaps you partner with somebody who already has a studio and you're like, like this is another angle. Like, first of all, like if I'm using your studio, then you benefit financially from me using your studio, but it's also another angle of like other people that we can call in, and something that also differentiates your studio from like any other dance, Pilates, yoga studio is like there's also this deeper somatic, like self-love, trauma, processing, healing. You know, I don't know what to call it. It doesn't feel right to call it coaching, even though that's the energy of it. But you know, like there's this other need that can be met through this this through somebody's existing studio that really makes it different and calls in a whole crowd that might, you know, because I the person I'm seeing maybe doesn't go to Pilates or yoga or dance because she's not feeling good in herself and she kind of needs to be nurtured on a deeper level. But she can then when she's like through your program may become like a lifetime member like of a Pilates class or a yoga class or whatever because she just has been brought to this place where she loves herself, loves her body, loves movement. You know, so there's a lot of different angles to take, but that was what was coming through is like I think you've just switched into another chapter. Your cup was filling up and now your cup is full and you're preparing to pour it over others to help them fill their cups.
Yeah, I like that because I love the way dance makes me feel. And I do meet like moms through like my daughter, which I, you know, these are people I would never encounter otherwise, right? So, and I tell them like, oh yeah, I used to be a dancer. They're like, oh, I always wanted to dance. And I'm like, you can dance. They're like, no, never. I could never dance. I never did it. I'm awkward, and I'm like, everyone's awkward at everything until they do it enough, and then they're no longer awkward. So, right. So, like, I can see that. Like, that is, it's, you know, and not in clear focus, but like, I like that idea, and I think it's something that could be fulfilling, and hopefully bring in some money. And I
Absolutely.
have.
I'm a very strong believer in like energy exchange through money, basically, because if everybody needs money, it's just a very convenient tool. That's why it exists. It's a neutral form of currency that applies to pretty much anything, and it just makes sense. But like totally to the idea of asking you to do this for like not enough to pay the bills, why would you even do it? Then you would just end up going back to work, right? Like it is a service, it's a gift that you're sharing. And in order to be able to do it and make it sustainable, it also has to be actually profitable. You can't just run at operational cost. Then you have to close down and go back to work because we all have bills to pay. That's just where we're at. So totally. And what I see too is like there are, I mean, this particular woman, this like client avatar that I see, she is ready for healing. She's ready to not feel the way she feels anymore. And she's happy to pay for it. Even if she's like not making, you know, like crazy, she's not necessarily like what we would call a rich person. She is ready to prioritize her own shift onto a better timeline for herself and like a happier, more joyful life. And also when people pay us for the things that we offer, they almost like I've just observed this even with myself. And when like I get something for totally free, then I notice like it's harder for me to claim total ownership over it. Whereas when I pay somebody for it, then I'm like, oh yeah, this is mine. Like I totally receive what you are. I either receive your product or I receive your service or I receive your guidance or whatever, you know? So it's, yeah, you can totally pay the bills, is what I'm saying. You can totally pay the bills doing this.
Okay. I hate that that's like so like important. I really do. I wish I could just do all the things that feel good and it doesn't matter, you know. But yes, that's unfortunately most almost most important. I got mouths to feed.
It is the most important. And also though, like I call it the martyr program. There's this like light worker martyr program that exists that tells us that we should, if we love doing it and we have a natural gift for it, we should just give it away for free. And then we're also like, but other people don't have enough. And like, I want to be able to help everyone. I just really believe that that's a false matrix program to cause us to like burn out within 6 months and then just stop doing it because we feel burnt out and kind of traumatized and we feel like that didn't work. And that's what we then move forward believing. And then we're not helping anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is important to receive money and feed those mouths you have to feed.
Exactly. Yeah, and I do believe too it is an energy exchange, and I get that. Like anything that I've ever paid for, there is an ownership and like a pride that I have. Like, yeah, I deserve that. I did that. I bought that. Like that's mine. So
Yeah.
I agree with you. Oh, and just one more thing. Like, I do feel like I'm chasing certifications. Like, I'm ashamed, but like, I was literally gonna sign up for another certification. Like, is that like, do I stop? I feel like it might be an addiction.
Oh my gosh, I feel like we like I mean, this is me. It's not necessarily certifications, but you guys would laugh if you saw how many, like, I just signed up for another business course on like marketing, messaging, and whatever, so I can feel more confident in it. And it's just like, it's so funny because I mean, we're sort of in the age of information. So it's not anything shameful, but with certifications, the thing that I wanted to highlight on that podcast is not that like not that certifications are the wrong direction to go, but just like if you don't address the baseline lack of confidence, then a certification isn't actually going to grant that confidence. But we kind of think it will because we've been programmed to believe like, oh, you go to college or university and you get a degree or diploma or whatever, and now you know how to do something, and just all of a sudden, magically, employment or success. But the unemployment rate will show you that that is not true. And also, if, like, you know, if it's somebody who has to create their own practice, like, say somebody certifies, not even necessarily in something spiritual, but let's say they certify in something like being a child and youth, like, substance counselor, like to be a drug and alcohol counselor for youth. When you get that certification, you still have to start your practice, which means you still have to ride on the confidence in your own skill and your own ability. But certifications don't necessarily give that, right? So I
Right.
feel like, do you feel like that's partly the energy? Like you're seeking to find your path. And so you're kind of like going for certifications, but then it's not really getting you anywhere.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, probably because I've gotten a couple certifications that I did try to pursue. Like, I tried to do project management, and then I was just like, so unsuccessful. And I think partially it like that field is like a catch 22. It's like they want you to have experience, but they also want you to have a certification. And I didn't have any experience like per se. I had like little projects that I did, but like not enough that people are going to be like, wow, you're hired. Oh, and you have a certification. Like I totally just got overlooked. And so I'm like, okay, this certification is kind of, it doesn't mean anything, even though I have all of this knowledge. And so
Yes.
basically, like, I don't have a problem learning things. And I feel like I like to have the knowledge because it does make me feel more confident. But again, like, I feel like if I get another certification, is that going to set me up to do this thing? Or is it just like, you should be already on the path of doing this thing, and then you get the certification. I don't know. I feel like it's like a setup, some of these certifications.
Yeah, and I would say especially like, do you mean like project management, such as like on a construction site? Is that the kind of project management you mean?
No, not
Well, there is that, but then there's also project management for like tech, and you just basically manage different projects. They also have project management in pharmaceuticals. So just like some, and I even tried to do like an associate project management, or even like something less than like a lead project manager. And it's just like you need to be kind of on that path and have experience in project management before you get the certification, or you don't even really need the certification if you're already on that path, and then you get trusted with projects and you do a good job, then you can become a project manager and have zero certifications. It's like almost like the certification doesn't really mean anything now that I know more about it. But yeah, like even like for a construction site, I would need to know, a background of how things are built, how, you level land, and I would need to know all of that. So I was doing more of just like manage, or what I was wanting to do was just more of managing just either tech projects or even pharmaceutical projects. But
But
nope, no
also
hits.
that's not really like what lights you up, right?
No.
Right. So okay, so what's coming through to me is that if we're pursuing certifications, either like spiritual modality certifications or healing modality certifications, or like more in the corporate environment certifications, if we're pursuing it as a means to an end, that's where we're going to experience disappointment. But like, let's say you freaking loved being a farm rep. Like you loved it so much. You just love this job that you're in, and you love the tech, you love the like whatever is involved in the project management of pharmaceuticals. And you're like so gung-ho for it, you're so here for it. That certification would go a long way. It would mean a lot because, like you said, you're already on the path and the path is for you. But if you're taking it because you're like, oh, I'm just trying to figure out a way to, like, I don't know, like upwardly mobile myself or shift in some other direction, like you're kind of trying to play within the box that you've already found yourself in, but you're not really happy in that box anyway, then yeah, the certification it's not going to translate. So,
Yeah.
and I feel like that applies across every industry.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. And yeah, the focus behind it is like money. Like I just want more money. And that's basically it. And well, I do the aspects of project management. I, as much as I'm creative, I like structure as well, and it's very structured and analytical. So I enjoy that about it. But like, I don't want to be an employee. I really have no desire. And if I'm, being interviewed, it's all an act. It's all an act. Probably not a good one either. So.
So then what if you like if it's about more money? I just believe that like when we want more money, most of us, it's like we have every right to want more money. We've just settled for less than we deserve for so long. So then if it's like you just want to make more money for yourself and your family, but you don't love what you're doing, it just makes more sense to me. It feels like it'll be way more profitable and enjoyable to shift gradually is fine, incrementally is fine, but shift in the direction of like allowing that money to come in through like in exchange for something that you totally love doing.
Yeah. I mean that nothing, I don't think anything as far as I've lived, nothing else feels right. Like what I've been doing doesn't feel good. I'm not enjoying it mostly. I can, like I said, I can find things that I do enjoy about it. Like I'm meeting like really cool, nice people, but like in the end, like this is not what I want to do. And I need to do something that's more enjoyable and more fulfilling. Otherwise, I think I'm shaving off years of my life at the end. I'm just like, this is not. Like, it cannot be good for my soul, like, doing this. And I don't know how people do this either. Like, even my mom, you know, when I got a real job, you know, a real job, she was like, this is what people do. Like, you just got so lucky that you didn't have to do a real job for, you know, like 20 years of your life. And like, now you're doing what most people do their whole life. And I'm like, yeah, but this is like, this sucks. Like, that's sad. And it sucks that you did something your whole life that you like didn't really enjoy. Like, why do people have to live this way? You don't have to answer that.
Well, no, but like I relate so much because that's what my mom used to say to me, and like my dad would, but he's the kind of person that he's just not, he doesn't interject or like force his opinion. Like that's what he would say if I asked him, but he wouldn't just comment on my life. But my mom would all the time, and so would her father, and they would just be like, you know, you just gotta get a job. Like that's what you do. It doesn't, you don't have to like the job. You just get the job because you need to make the money. And I was always like, well, that makes me want to die. Like, I know that sounds dramatic and probably spoiled AF to you guys, but I was like, I did not incarnate into this life to just get a random job and do that for decades and maybe retire if I live that long and then die. Like, what I'm here for. And I believe that a lot of us aren't here for that. And I feel like that's really terrible advice, but I also have a lot of understanding now that I didn't have before of like why that's what their experience was and that's how they saw reality. But I believe that we're like those of us who really feel that inside, where it's like, no, it can't be like this. I'm not just lucky that I didn't have to get a job until recently. It's like, this is not how it's supposed to be. I think that's something you're supposed to carry and honor and express. Because then also that's what creates the change for the next generation too, and like subsequent generations is like we are the ones that have decided to clear that bullshit belief. And some people are here to be employees, but what like ideally we would all just really love the work that we do since we put so much freaking time and effort into it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, I think that people who are employees and do not mind doing, you know, whatever job it is that they're doing for an organization, I mean, they can find like real joy in that. Like, I have coworkers that like they're good. They're good. I'm like, I wish I could relate. I wish I could be where you're at, but I'm just not, and it feels very wrong. And I think if they felt like I felt, they probably couldn't have done that for like 17 years, right? Like, I would think you wouldn't just stuff that down.
Some people
I feel
do.
very okay.
Well, I would say a lot of people do, but that's an important point to acknowledge is like some people, I have friends that are employees and they're really happy. They're very happy. Like my one sister, both my sisters actually, they're super happy being employees. But the thing that I also am thinking of while you're saying this is like, well, really you're an artist, right? Like a dancer is an artist. Or falls under that greater archetypal umbrella. And entrepreneurship is very, very creative and artistic. And so everything that all of the energy that you channeled into your path as a performer, it's very similar. It's just a little bit different because you're carving out a path that doesn't necessarily exist exactly in the mold that you want it to exist. Whereas being a performer, like many other people have been performers, there is sort of like a known path and a known method. So you know, like just how to like do it the way that is required in order to see results. Whereas when you're entrepreneuring, you're learning how to create the mold first, and then you start to just do it the way you need to do it in order to see the results. But it's the same thing. Like for everything that you're saying, I'm like, you're just not meant to be an employee. You just aren't. You have a creative, artistic, entrepreneurial spirit. And I think what like the next steps that make sense to me for you are to like grounded steps, not necessarily Akashic guidance steps, but are to like start looking for other people who have created businesses similar to what you would like to do for yourself, not necessarily exactly the same and not to replicate them, but just to sort of see and get an idea of like, oh, okay, that's what's possible. Oh, that's one version of what's possible. That's another version of what's possible. And like, this is a path similar to being a performer. This is a path that other people have walked before. There's just a little bit less of a like known sort of
Like
like,
outline or
yeah, exactly. That's it. Exactly. A known outline. But there is an outline. It exists.
yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I don't know of any other questions. I feel like you've answered mostly, I guess it was like around my purpose and my mission and really just me trying to communicate with my guides, which I feel like I'm working on it. I feel like taking your class like gave me some really good tools to just work from and see what happens. So still
Yeah.
in the works for that.
Totally. And I'm so glad you've joined psychic school because I feel like it's really going to expand through that. But also try automatic writing because what will happen, like you could frame questions to your spirit guide. So rather than your higher self, you could like say like spirit guide or spirit guides or angels or whomever you prefer to communicate with, like what are the next aligned moves for me? Or what do I need to know about my soul or whatever, you know? And then you write and you just know that that first paragraph at least is gonna feel like nonsense, pointlessness, and don't get derailed there. Keep going. And the next layer is gonna be your own deeper truth. And then after that, if you keep practicing, it might not come in all in one session right away, but if you keep practicing, you'll start to get answers. They'll figure out that that's a way that you're choosing to show up and try to communicate with them, and they'll start sending it through to you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Samantha. Thank you for being willing to have this Akashic reading and conversation with me to share on the podcast. I feel like so many of the things that came through will probably be very beneficial to other people who are listening too.
I hope so. Thank you. Felt like it was very, it was very specific to me, but hopefully people can get something from it. But thank you for taking the time to speak with me. I really
Yeah.
enjoyed it. Thanks.
Yeah, it was my honor and my pleasure. And thank you for your grace and patience with William.
Oh, he's so sweet. He's got the sweetest little eyes. I'm sure he's great. He's
Yeah.
sweet.
Thanks,
I
Samantha.
didn't mind.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
absolutely. Okay,
Okay.
take care.
Bye.
Well, that's a wrap. I truly hope that you enjoyed the episode and that you got some good activations, insights, and inspiration from what was shared today. I want to give a shout out to May, who edits all of these podcast episodes, and I want to thank you, beautiful listener, for the valuable currency of your time and attention. You are a powerful creator, and may everything in this podcast serve you in your highest fucking creations. Your listenership means the world to me, truly. I cannot possibly express my appreciation enough for you and your being here with me on this journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe, and share. And have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. I will catch you on the next episode.